Sorry to you, your blood, and the planet. I'm your soul host, Scott Patton, along with the founder and chief cook, bottle washer, and delivery man of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin.
Scott, you have upgraded me beautifully. I think my middle name is Robin.
Robin, that's right. We were just talking about Robin Williams before we got on the air. And he's inspired us today. And we're also inspired by an article in one of our local newspapers that said that fish oil protects against cellular aging and also talks a little bit about people with heart disease. So I think it's a fascinating article. There's some interesting information in there, and we wanted to share that with you, plus, of course, our own unique perspective on the whole thing.
In fact, the perspective, you know, so here is an article put out probably by some interest, right? The interest will be the manufacturing of the fish oil.
It's from
Reuters
in Chicago. Julie Steen Hassan.
baby.
Sorry. So her name is Julie.
This is Steenhuisen.
Steenhuisen, yep. And it basically says a diet rich in omega-3 fatty acids helps keep the DNA of heart patients from unraveling, which may help explain why fish oil is so beneficial after a heart attack, U.S. researchers said yesterday.
So to break it down, if you do have a heart attack, you should take fish oil, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not before that, right?
Well, that seems to be the case.
And why would you not take it before that?
Well, you know, we got to look after our fish populations. We don't want to kill any more fish than we have to, right?
Right. So could we get omega-3s any other way?
Oh, no. It has to be fish oil, Martin.
No, come on, Scott. Think. Where did the fish get it?
Kelp.
Plankton.
I was going to say little fishies.
Yeah, smaller fishies, and where did the smaller fishies get it? From even littler fishies, and where did they get it? And where did the plankton get it? Well, plankton got it from sunlight and minerals, and that's the photosynthesis. And is there omega-3 oil anywhere on Earth? Not just ocean, but the land.
Vegetable oil?
Yeah, sort of like that. The richest source would be flax, borage, primrose, hemp.
Primrose. Can you actually, like, eat primrose oil?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. It's capsulated. It's one of the best forms. It's pricey, but it's excellent.
I'd never heard of that. I've heard of, like, using it for aromatherapy.
Right. Well, it's kind of precious, but when you want to... Oh, heck, you know, some people eat small animals instead of big animals, so you can extract primrose oil from precious plants instead of from the common, ordinary flax and hemp.
Okay. Yeah, so flax, hemp, those are good oils, primrose oil. What about coconut oil?
Certainly, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Omega-3s. It's not as balanced towards the omega-3s, but it certainly is an excellent source of essential fatty acids.
Okay, so this is, and the article, by the way, if you do a search on the internet, and we'll put a link on the podcast page, for fish oil protects against cellular aging : study, you'll come up for sure with the one I'm looking at, and probably it's in a whole bunch of newspapers around the world. So, but then it talks about omega-3s, and just to do a little tangent here, Martin, it doesn't say anything about omega-6 fatty acids.
Well, okay, your body needs to have a proper balance of omega-3s, 6s, and 9s.
Right.
Now, the typical Western American diet is quite rich in omega-6s because they're richly present in all of the meats and that sort of product.
Okay.
But the omega-3s are short, as in short supplied.
Okay, and then the omega-9s is usually not an issue either?
That they're usually not a problem.
Okay.
So
we're focusing on the omega-3s here.
Well, the reason we're focusing on them is because they have been deficient in the typical diet. And, you know, the shorter the chain of the fatty acid, the more fragile it is. And these are the fats that rancidize the earliest or the quickest.
Okay, you know, so some break of the, down.
Yeah, like, you know, like alpha lipoic acid will start going bad at 5 degrees centigrade, which is, you know, what's that in about
like
40 Fahrenheit, right?
Yeah.
And so what the typical manufacturer of plant oils will do is they will strip out or filter out or refine out all of these short-chain omega-3 fats. So when you go buy your safflower oil or canola oil or all of that pretend healthy vegetable oil that you typically see on grocery store shelf, you will have them very deficient in omega-3s.
That's why you need to supplement it.
And the second thing is when you heat fats, these fragile fats are the first ones to go bad.
Right.
So anything fried, you're in trouble.
Right. Okay, cool. So basically what they said in the article was it's been clear that if you have a heart attack and you don't want to have a subsequent one, is you need to take, they say, fish oil through diet or supplements, and it reduces the risk. And they don't know why that was. So they looked at a telomere length, which is the length of a protective cap on the ends of the chromosomes that carry the DNA. So it's kind of getting really technical here, but basically there's this part of the DNA that if you it seems like if you shorten it or you fray it or you hurt it, break it down or whatever, it could lead to premature aging and cancer. So this actually brought a Nobel Prize to Elizabeth Blackburn and two other Americans in 2009 in medicine. So this was an amazing discovery. Like, oh, this part here leads to premature aging and cancer. So they measured the length of this in blood cells in 608 heart attack patients to see if there was any association between the length of the levels of omega-3 fatty acids and the change in this telomere length over time. And they found a very clear association that increasing the levels of the amount of omega-3, that's interesting, they said of omega-3 fish oil in the blood. So, you know, we've just said, well, it could be omega-3s from hemp or from flax or from primrose or from all these other things. And I'm just, maybe it talks later on about it, but I'm just kind of curious as to why, you know, do they just give them fish oil in this thing or what?
Well, this stuff, Scott, this stuff metabolizes in the body. You know, like you actually convert the omega-3 into something called DHA and EPA, and that those are more readily present in the fish oil than they are in the plant oil. So it's a little more complex to get it out of the plants than it is from the animal product. It's sort of the same way as it's easier to get a protein out of a piece of meat than it is out of a lettuce or a tomato. But I need to just stop you and just say, look, it. Here is the typical fallacy of this mindset, of this craziness that this pharmaceutical approach has taken us to. I mean, we are splitting these things into these tiniest little questions. Like, for instance, we're now questioning whether a person who has had a heart attack has had his telomeres shortened in the absence of omega-3 fats, yes or no kind of question.
Right.
It's sort of like saying, if the quarterback shaves his left arm, his throwing arm, on the day of the game, will it affect the outcome of the game, yes or no?
Will it affect the speed with which he can throw the ball? Because you have less wind resistance without that hair.
Well, I'm taking it to the. And will it really have any substantial effect on the game itself?
Right.
And so what we're doing is we're narrowing things down to crazy concepts instead of saying natural food works, unrefined food works, whole food works. Deep fried food doesn't work. You know, like it's the whole lifestyle. Do more of this, less of that. You don't get to heart attack. How do you get to heart attack? Eating a high carb diet, eating deep fried food diet.
Yeah.
What does that do? It damages omega-3s or short supplies you in omega-3s. You will have massive oxidative damage in your body, which will result in massive inflammatory response throughout your body, which then will slay you.
Right.
But instead, we're studying this one teeny little bit narrow thing, and we're even willing to give a Nobel Prize for it. Okay, sure, it explains the mechanism. But let me give you a different picture. Let's just rent 12 pickup trucks, new ones, and put 100,000 miles on them in most abusive way. No maintenance, running them in high heat, cold weather, overloaded, without maintenance, no oil changes, just run the devil out of them. Okay?
Okay.
Out of the 12 trucks we rented, at 200,000 miles, only one of them is still running. Everything else is broken down. And if we're going to think like these people do, we're going to start analyzing how they broke. You know, one of them, the head gasket went. On another, it's the differential. On another one, it's the, I don't know, what a transmission went here, and tires went on that one, and so on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we will list all the ways how the other 11 trucks have died. And then we'll try and do statistical profile on how they died. But the truth is, the reason they died is we didn't follow reasonable behavior, maintenance procedures, and prudent, what shall I call it, treatment of the asset. And the
We stuck junk in it, or we didn't stick any junk in it, right?
Well, junk or no junk, you know, if you don't change the oil, eventually just the natural effect of combustion will fill your crankcase with carbon, and you will cause so much friction that the engine will eventually seize up or damage itself in some way, right?
That's right.
I mean, same here. If you're going to put yourself on a whiskey and steak diet with no vegetables and da da da, you will last only so long, you know.
French fried potatoes.
Yes. with a barbecued or broiled piece of ground beef with a bun.
Yeah.
So the bun made with refined flour, which is a high glycemic index refined piece of whatever, worthless.
Yeah. So anyway. The article then goes on to say that these mechanisms are all proven, and this is the part, and I see, and I want you to continue your rants. I want to just sort of stoke the fire here, Martin. The people that did the study said the team only studied the effects of fish oil and cellular aging in heart patients. So it's not clear if the association would hold true in healthy people. We have no reason to think that it wouldn't, but we haven't shown that, he said.
Right, and the reason we haven't shown that is because healthy people don't show up in hospitals so that they could be, treated or have their blood samples taken or whatever.
Well, here's the thing: if something helps somebody who has a heart attack, maybe it would probably help somebody before they have a heart attack, and maybe help somebody who's healthy in a lot of other ways. I mean, if you're talking about cellular aging, then what does that have to do with someone? Whether they have a heart problem or not have a heart problem, we all have cellular aging. And so you have a heart problem and it changes you in certain ways, so this fish oil impacts you differently than if you don't have a heart problem? Like, this doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah, you're doing my rant really well. How is it possible that this society is willing to listen to this drivel coming from the mainstream, from the people that control the medicine and the research and the so-called science, And just state, well, okay, I'll tell you a little joke.
All right, Robin Williams, ladies and gentlemen, he's joining us.
Mr. Smith suspected that his wife might be having an affair with his neighbor while Mr. Smith was at work. Mr. Smith hired a private investigator. And so the investigator's calling him and says, okay, so I've staked the front of your house. I'm looking through the bedroom window, and there is your wife and your neighbor having taken clothes off, and they just have gone under the sheets. I can't see what they're doing. Oh, the uncertainty. I wish I could be certain, says Mr. Smith. The uncertainty is bothering him, so you can't really see what they're doing, right? No, I can't really see what they're doing. Sorry, sir. Is that a good enough analogy here?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the old smoking gun, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The gun is smoking. We're pretty sure it's in his hand, and we're pretty sure he shot these people, but...
No, I haven't seen it. I only heard the bang.
I only heard the bang. When I turned around, there was the guy laying on the ground. There was the guy with the gun, but, you know...
Yeah, I didn't see him pull it.
I'd hate to say it's one way or the other.
Well, anyway, so here goes our society, you know, with its focus on the scientific method, which tries to focus on symptoms, focus on details, focus on individual, concepts, instead of seeing things holistically. This is precisely the point that I'm trying to highlight, is when we say holistic healing or cellular terrain management, is that I don't care if your telomeres are shortened.
Yeah.
You know?
My telomeres are longer than yours.
Right, but the point is, you're showing all the signs of aging over here in sample A, and you're showing a much younger looking person in sample B. What is sample B doing?
Yeah.
Let's follow that.
Right.
Ah.
Well, and not
okay.
only that, if whatever sample B is doing, sample A can't do it because they're sample A, they're not sample B, and it might not make a change. And you also have individuals with their individual lives, their genetics, and everything else that, we know this is generally good, but, you know, so it improves me 10% and improves you 12%, so why shouldn't, you don't need it or I don't need it? Or I mean, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Hey, have omega-3 fatty acids in your diet to the amount that you need to be at an optimum level,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to worry about a lot of things that you'd have to worry about if you abuse your body.
That's it. Please read the user's manual and follow it.
That's right.
And that's the worst of it. We don't seem to be able to find the user's manual because the guys who are running the pharmaceutical-based medicine have hidden it. They ran off with it. In fact, they replaced the manual with this book of marketing and industrial interest. You know, like the famous four food groups.
Yeah.
You know, the meats, the grain, the
fruit and vegetables, and the dairy.
And, yeah, right. As if that's because four marketing groups got together and decided to divide it four ways.
Everyone wanted their piece of the...
And somehow the fruit growers and the vegetable growers didn't show up. They just simply got that one last corner because they knew that they couldn't get away with just taking it off the plate altogether.
Right. Eat your vegetables. Actually, the whole thing was kind of set up when you think about it, right? Make sure you eat your vegetables. Get 6 servings of vegetables. I mean, you don't hear... Eat your meat. You have to have 2 servings of meat. It's kind of like you're setting people up to rebel against eating the things that they should be eating.
Oh, hey, that's another complicated story.
Yeah.
But here's something that's worth mentioning. I was rereading a study that showed that from 80 years ago, the mineral content in carrots has dropped by 70%.
Whoa.
Or that the carrot you eat today has only 30% the mineralization it had 80 years ago. 1930. And in 1936, they were already deeply concerned about the level of mineralization because the industrial, chemical-based agricultural practices were already dropping mineral levels to critical back then. And yet we have lost another 2/3 of what we had. Anyway, the point being is that even though a carrot looks like a carrot, it's hollow. It does not have the nutrients in it that it's supposed to have. So the question whether you should or shouldn't supplement with biodynamically grown superfoods shouldn't even be a question. It's like there is no way that the produce that you buy in the grocery store can sustain you.
Yeah.
And to make the point even clearer, the obesity epidemic is the evidence of it. Because your body craves minerals. That's what you're running on. You need to have minerals to perform the cellular function. So the body says, feed me. So you feed it a plate of food, and at the end of the meal, the body digests it and says, feed me, I don't have enough. But with the minuscule amount of nutrients that you require, you get piles and piles of calories because you're now having to eat more and more stuff to get the material that you require. So you're now calorie rich, nutrient poor, low nutrient density foods, and the evidence is walking all around us.
Yeah. Actually, I'm glad you brought up superfoods because I wanted to tell you an experience I had today because my order of Iridesa, the excellent superfood of choice for me, arrived today. And normally what I do is I take a spoon, I put a couple spoonfuls in a shaker, and I shake it up because I've grown up having protein powders and protein drinks like that, which if you didn't shake it up, it would just be this big clumpy stuff that would, you know, break apart in your mouth and be all dry. So, you know, I really vigorously shake it. And today when I did it, I just picked a spoon up that happened to be just been washed and hadn't really dried. So when I put the spoon in and then I tipped it over into the glass, not all the iridesa went into the glass and the water. Some of it, of course, stuck to the wet part of the spoon. And I treat it like every granule is gold, right? So I thought, oh dear, I better put it with the water in my glass, in the container, and get it off. So I did that, and then I pulled it out, and there was still, of course, little specks on it. So then I said, okay, I'll just stir it in. So I never before in my life, in all the years I've known you, Martin, have I ever stirred an Exela product. So I stirred it, and in not even 2 seconds, it was all
homogenized, right?
Homogenized. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't have to stir it anymore, right? And I was just like,
How did this happen, Red?
Shocked.
How is this possible?
I was just shocked, Martin. I just couldn't believe it. I thought, this is what you always tell me about the little itty-bitty particles and being bioavailable in our body, and I'm seeing a demonstration of it before my eyes. And this stuff just goes right into the water effortlessly, and I was just like, whoa, dude. Because for 40 years, well, I'd say maybe 35 years, I have the biggest problem. I get a blender to get this powder to stick to the water, right, sort of thing,
right.
You know, and run it for 5 minutes, and then maybe it'll be, you know, drinkable and palatable. And here it was, not even 2 seconds, just a couple swishes with my spoon, and it was all, it just...
Right. And this is what you're doing here is you're actually describing the genius of the designer. You know, Jabari Oberon, the fellow who formulates these things, is truly a gifted man. And, for instance, in order to get the precious etheric oils out of seeds, he mixes in etheric oils, like oil of wild white rose or tangerine, so that these things soak in, absorb, dissolve, and bind with other things, or, you know, he'll use amounts of lecithin that would then blend with all of the fat-soluble components, so that finally, you know, all the transport mechanisms in a human body are water-based. Your blood is water-based, your lymph is water, you know, we're water creatures. And yet, we need a lot of fat-based substances to reach us. You know, your brain is mainly fats, your nerves are wrapped in fats, your, a lot of stuff is fat-based.
Yet we're water creatures.
Right, and in order to transport anything that's fat-based in a water transport mechanism, you must emulsify it. And the emulsifier, you know, typically you see it when you're washing your dishes, you put some soap on, and all of a sudden the water mixes with the oil. Well, in a human body, this emulsifier is lecithin. And so when you have lecithin in, all of a sudden when you hit it with water, it actually readily combines.
Neat.
Yeah, that's right. Ta-da! So there, that's a nice little sidebar. So, of course, that product that you ingested is rich in omega-3s, is rich in all kinds of nutrients that your body probably will thank you for. Maybe your telomeres are going to be very nice.
Yeah, in good, really good shape.
But, you know, you don't really care about your telomeres. You care about the fact that you feel good and that you get some bigger and that, that at your advanced age you're still behaving like 20 years ago.
That's right. And yeah, and that everything is you know, still working at a high level, and that's
good.
Yeah, you know, we don't, I mean, really, when you think about it, like, I really agree with you when you talk about the pharmaceutical approach, right? Because you go into the grocery store and you get, you know, you get a package of vitamin C and a package of this and a package of B vitamins and a package mm-hmm. of selenium or a package, and then, like, how do you mix it? Right.
Well, you don't. But here's even a better example. As you're saying it, it just dawns on me. You know, take all the ingredients that would be in an apple. You know, the sawdust, the water, the vitamin C, the fats, the whatever. You know, every mineral. Just heap it up in separate little piles, and then hand it to me, and then just say, now make me an apple out of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? You cannot take it in that direction. But that's precisely what we do with the superfoods. We start with what nature made and leave it that way. Right. The only thing we do with it is we carefully selected what we give and how we micronize it. We make it more absorbable by making it smaller particle. But we leave it whole.
Right. That I think, is the key, because nature's already put everything in there. We don't need to improve on that. We just need to make it available to people, because when they go to the store or they go to their doctor, what they get is something that's not particularly available or causes bigger problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, like this heart attack stuff. I was wondering, are these people suffering from a deficiency of a stent or an angioplasty? Mm-hmm. Or are they suffering from deficiency of the fatty acids for years, right? I mean, the cause of their illness wasn't a lack of surgical procedure.
That's right.
It was something else. So trying to cure a heart attack with a surgical procedure is not really smart. It's, you know, it's an emergency measure that sort of deals with the catastrophe at hand. But it sure would have been smarter to back up 20 years and do the right thing then.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and that's, of course, that's what we're always dealing with, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to stoke the fire a little bit more, because I just realized I have another newspaper article here, and just something to think of, because I know we're running out of time. But
okay, no sidebar. Listen, we're going to discuss that on our next podcast.
Okay, it has to do with cell phones.
Okay, we'll get to cell phones on the next podcast.
All right.
But here's what I want to tell you. I have received a phone call all the way from United Arab Emirates to follow up on our two podcasts ago. I was talking about the economic changes and drop the name of Burj Dubai, the tallest building on the planet.
Oh, yeah, that almost went bankrupt.
Well, that too, but, you know, economic changes and the shifting winds of fortunes, and how we were talking about that in relation to the Pluto and Capricorn and all of that.
Right.
Anyway, so this fellow, very delightful man, calls in and says, so I need to correct you on a few things.
Okay.
Number one, the building has changed owners, so it's no longer Burj Dubai, it's now Burj Khalifa. It's owned by the Emirates. And also, this fellow was so interested in finding out how long it takes to get to the top of the building, he called the building manager to see. So it takes just 1 minute to get to the top floor.
Whoa.
So I said to him, well, okay, in order to get that, you need to average a speed of 40 miles per hour to do that. And he says, yes, that's exactly what the building manager told me, 64 kilometers per hour. So that's one swiftly moving elevator, I tell
you.
That
is.
I mean, that's just like city traffic.
Holy smokes.
So imagine how many floors you have to start braking before you reach the top floor. I mean, it's just like driving in a car, right? I mean, how long does it take you to slow the car down to a stop from going 40 miles?
If you're not careful, you'll go right through the top of the elevator.
Well, I'm sure that they brake for the last 10 or 20 floors or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's the story. We have been corrected. It's now Burj Khalifa. It is still the tallest building of the planet. It's still 880 meters tall. And it takes you just 1 mere minute to get to the top.
Whoa, that's amazing. Fascinating.
Totally. And I thought, wow, what a neat thing. And of course, I got to talk to this fellow for quite a bit of time. And in fact, we're even discussing that we might be doing business with his help in that part of the world.
That would be awesome. They need the superfoods.
Yes, they need us.
So, Martin, if we have any other listeners in Dubai who want to contact you and talk about the tallest building in the world, or maybe ways to avoid being one of these people in the studies on fish oil and heart attacks, how could they get a hold of you?
All right, call me. I'm at 1-866-543-3388. Or before you call, please do some reading. We're at life-enthusiast.com. E-M-T-H-U-S-I-A-S-T, not the plural, .com. And here we are, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you so much for listening.